It's not that God hasn't made provision, but you got to be willing to be his companion.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the importance of being spiritually submissive.
God's got an inheritance for you. Only if you come under his legitimate authority.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. To many people in our culture, meek equals weak. But today, Dr. Evans disconnects those descriptions as he talks about what genuine strength really is. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 as he explains.
When most people hear the word meek or gentle, they don't like it, especially men. Because to them, that means weak. That means indecisive, wishy-washy. Well, the Bible would say that would be an insult to Jesus, since he is called meek in Scripture. No, nothing could be further from the truth. Blessed are the meek or the gentle. Doesn't mean soft or sissified. Doesn't mean wishy-washy. What it means is power under control. Meekness or gentleness is power under control. That's the simplest definition I could give you. One of the great challenges we have in counseling people is their unwillingness to submit to spiritual authority. And once you have that rebellious spirit, you cancel the work of God working you through whatever it is that you need his power to overcome. It is the absence of meekness. A meek person bows low before God so that they can stand tall among men. It is a willingness to bow. The biggest players on a football team are the offensive linemen. They're the biggest, they're the strongest. But they're also the ones who go the lowest when it's time to run a play. The biggest and strongest get down and go the lowest because that's where they get their leverage to perform. The bigger you are, the more meek you should be. Because the bigger you are, or the bigger you think you are, the more out of control you might tend to be. Blessed, well-being, being well on the inside, is the person who places all that they have under the legitimate authority that's over them. Ultimately, being consistent with God. It starts with God. So, if you're going to be meek, you must now say, I will take all that God has given me, because meekness is not weakness, and I will place it under the legitimate authority that's over me, and what makes it legitimate is that it's consistent with God. What's the payoff? What's the benefit for becoming a meek person? For operating under the legitimate authority? It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This promise comes from Psalm 37. Let me read a few verses out of Psalm 37 and then explain what this means in biblical times and then what it means to you today in terms of being blessed. Verse 1 says, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. Verse 11, but the humble, that is the meek, will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Verse 22, for those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off, that is, from the land. Verse 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. That's where Jesus gets this statement, inherit the land or the earth. Well, back in biblical times, what was the land? It was the land of promise that God said, I am going to take you to. God said, if you are meek, willing to submit to legitimate authority, I am going to take you to the place I promised I was going to take you, and I am going to give you your allotted portion. Why did not Israel, the first generation, make it to the promised land? Their refusal to be meek. They would not submit to the legitimate authority of God, and they would not submit to the legitimate authority of Moses. And their refusal to submit to legitimate authority canceled out their ability to enjoy the promise that God had made. The absence of meekness cut them off, Psalm 37 says, from the land. And the land was the place of promise. Every believer has an allotted portion. What God has determined to give you in life. God has said in Ephesians 1 that everything he's ever going to do for you, he's already done. In fact, you don't even have to say, Lord, bless me. It says you have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. The problem is you don't see them all yet. But you don't see them all yet because it's an allotted portion over your lifetime. And God has incremental times where he's going to give you certain things. But he's already placed them on deposit. That's your allotted portion, whatever that is. He says the meek inherit their allotment. Those who are coming under the control of God and the legitimate earthly authorities that are over them will receive their allotted portion in life. That's inherit the earth. That's getting the promised land. That's getting what God has authorized you to have. But you only get your allotment if you're meek. It's not because God hasn't given it to you. It's just that you haven't submitted yourself so that you can receive it. Many of us have been waiting years, praying years, to get things that have already been given to us, but our refusal to be meek keeps it from us. The Bible says that those blessings are in heavenly places. If your bank account is at Bank of America, if that's where all your money is, but you go writing withdrawal slips from Guarantee Bank or Commerce Bank or Wachovia Bank, and you go there and write withdrawal slips, you ain't getting a thing. Because that's not where your stuff is. Your stuff, your money is in Bank of America, but you're writing withdrawal slips at another location. You can't withdraw your allotment from God and not be under his legitimate authority. You can't have a better marriage. You can't have a better career. You can't have a better anything. You can do some things independently of God, but you can't have the well-being that goes with it if you are not under authority. They will inherit their allotted portion. Everything God has declared for you will come to you. So let's go back to the principle of the promised land. When God promised them to inherit the earth, to inherit the land, God had already made provisions in the land for their arrival. God had already taken care of stuff in advance. He says, when you arrive there, there will be wells that you did not dig. Land that you did not cultivate. In other words, I will go in front of you and set it up. In fact, don't even worry that there are wicked people living there, Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites. Don't worry that there are wicked people living there, because while I'm waiting on you to arrive, I'm going to let the wicked people work the land. I'm going to let the sinners dig the well. So don't worry that wicked people are all in front of you. Wicked people are getting away with stuff. Wicked people are making more money than you. Wicked people are getting through. Don't worry, because I'm just using them to set it up. So that when you finally submit to me, when you arrive there, I will have used the wicked to make it right for the righteous. But I got this land set up, and the wicked are the only ones enjoying it because you're not meek. Many men here have cut off the blessing of God from your family because you are refusing to submit to the will of God related to your headship. Many women in here have cut off the blessing of God to your family because of your refusal to legitimately submit to your husbands. You can literally cut off what God has already set up. A lot of us have delayed our inheritance because of a refusal to submit to the legitimate authority God has ordained, and you're letting your personality or your preferences get in the way. You are affecting your inheritance, your allotted portion, the thing that God has already preordained for you. So God has a plan to give you what he has for you. It's called your inheritance. That is your allotted portion. The good news of this is when you're in line spiritually, God gives you your allotted portion. You don't have to fight for it. One of the most exciting things in life is to watch God work out stuff when you didn't have any idea how it could possibly work. There's nothing like that experience. But that experience belongs to the meek. Not just because you're a Christian. It belongs to those who are submitted to the will of God.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll talk about two biblical characters who had exactly that kind of experience. First, though, you can dig even deeper into today's subject with the help of Tony's recently released book, Kingdom Values. It'll help you put what you're learning about God's truth to work as you build a more Christ-centered character. Rather than conform to our crumbling culture, you learn how to develop integrity, authenticity, compassion, accountability, and more. Discover how to experience real change, not just for yourself, but for the people you care about and influence. Contact us today and let us send you a copy of Kingdom Values. It's yours when you make a contribution to help us keep the alternative coming your way each day. But that's just the beginning. Along with the book, you'll also get all 8 full-length messages in Tony's powerful series, Returning to the Truth. You can get the details and make the arrangements instantly at tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message right after this.
It was my first time meeting Jesus in the Bible. That's what one student is saying after studying bibliology through the Tony Evans Training Center, taught by renowned theologian Dr. Tony Evans. These online courses feature compelling and exclusive video and audio teaching, plus an interactive scripture-based curriculum you can access online or through the mobile app. Sign up now at tonyevanstraining.org. Take a course with Dr. Evans and explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere. tonyevanstraining.org.
Joshua and Caleb. Remember, the 10 says, we're not going into the land. God said, this is your allotted portion. 10 said, nah, it's too much problem in there. We can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, come on, guys. God has already given it to us. The Bible says they refused to submit to God or to his spiritual leadership, Moses. When they refused to submit, the Bible says God got angry with them. And God says, you shall not go into the land. They lost their inheritance. He said, except Joshua and Caleb. Watch this now. There was a 45-year gap between the time they came up to the land and the time they entered the land in the next generation, because that generation couldn't go in. When they finally get to the land, a generation later, 45 years later, because the blessing was delayed, they finally get to the land. And Caleb comes to Joshua in Numbers 14. Caleb comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, that mountain over there, give me that mountain that the Lord promised me 45 years ago. But he said something else. He said, give me my promise, my inheritance. For I am now 85, but I am as strong now as I was when I was 40. I'm going to get to enjoy my mountain, even though it was a delayed blessing. Listen to me. God has an allotment for you. And I know circumstances in your life may have delayed it. It may have been the mistakes of others. It may have been your mistake. But the mountain hadn't moved. That mountain been there for 45 years. All God is waiting for you to do is cross the Jordan. Once you cross the Jordan, you can claim your mountain. He has your allotment, but not if you're spiritually rebellious. You won't see your allotment, or you'll see it and never get to enjoy it. It's like the man in Luke 12 who built bonds and built bigger bonds and built bigger bonds and built bigger bonds and said, well, now I'm going to retire and I'm going to enjoy the good life. And God says, you fool, today your soul is required of you. You're not going to enjoy any of it because you want to deliver your life independently of me. It's another story of meekness. It's in Numbers chapter 12. Let me summarize the story. Moses is called in the Bible the meekest man in all the earth. That's who Moses is called. The meekest man in all the earth. He's called that in Numbers 12. Numbers 12 talks about a problem. It was a family problem. Miriam and Aaron get upset at the African woman Moses married. It says Moses married a Cushite, says it twice in verse 1 of Numbers 12. A Cushite is a black African. So that was an interracial marriage and they didn't like it. Speaks directly to the issue of racism. They didn't like this, to use contemporary language, this white-black relationship. Plus, Miriam was upset because Miriam was the chief female. So now that this other woman has entered the scene, she doesn't like the challenge it's going to imply to her authority, because now she's going to have more influence over Moses than Miriam has. So it's a problem. So they stirred up rebellion against Moses for an illegitimate reason, because they ain't like his wife. Then we're told Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. Why are we told that Moses is so meek in this racial family conflict? Because what God wants you and I to know is when you're submitted to divine authority, God picks up the battle for you. Now, is Moses a weak man? No, he opened up the Red Sea. He told Pharaoh, let my people go. You know, he brought in the 10 plagues. I mean, he's a bad boy. But he's only doing that in submission to God. See, he's a strong man, but he's meek because he's underneath God. And when you're meek, he's the meekest man in all the earth. So God steps in. Over in Jamaica, his name was Reverend Taylor. He's preaching, and a man kept coming in interrupting the service. He'd stop. The man kept coming in interrupting the service. He'd stop. The man kept coming in interrupting the service. He'd stop. He said, don't you do that again. You know, and they didn't have it back then. They didn't have security and all that kind of stuff we have today. He said, don't do that again. The man came and interrupted the service again. Taylor stopped. Says, Lord, I am seeking to communicate your word to these people. This man refuses to respect that. Would you demonstrate to him before this people today that he is not to play with the living God? He kept on preaching. The guy kept on interrupting. 5 minutes later, he dropped dead of a heart attack in the middle of the aisle. True story. 5 minutes later, the man dropped dead in the middle of the congregation. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But you only get to see God intervene if you're meek. See, blessed are the meek, for the meek shall see God. You say, well, then in closing, how do I become meek? I've already said it, through submitting to the legitimate authority that God has assigned you. God will help out this process. That's like somebody breaking a horse, you know. Cowboy gets on a horse, what does it do? Ride it. What does the horse do? Buck it. See, we buck submission. Get off me. I want you on me. I want you over me. I want you my head. I want you. Get off of me. What does the cowboy do? Get back up on that horse. How often does the cowboy get on the horse? Tell the horse gets the message. The horse get the message. I'm not going anywhere till you break. How do you know when the horse has got the message? Because the cowboy goes, has the horse lost its strength? No, it's just following its master's direction. So you can submit yourself to the Lord, James 4, or God can ride you. It's been a while now, but it's a while back I was stuck on the side of the road. AAA came and they yoked me. They put a harness on my car and they lifted it up. And I got in the truck with the driver as he towed me to the station to get my car repaired. Take my yoke. I took his yoke. My car took his yoke and he pulled me because I was stuck. I wasn't going anywhere. And somebody here stuck, but you're not allowing God to yoke you. You're insisting on your own rights and you are refusing to be meek. And you're blocking your inheritance so you'll stay stuck on the highway called life. It's not that God hasn't made provision. It's not that God hasn't put you in his will. But you got to be willing to be his companion. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I know it's heavy for you, but it's light for me. It's deep for you. Ain't all that deep to me. It's difficult for you, but I can handle it. So instead of you asking me to help you, why don't you hook up with me? Because I can handle it.
Dr. Tony Evans, encouraging us to submit ourselves to the Savior. And he'll come back in a moment with a final illustration to wrap up our lesson for today. First, though, I want to let you know that the message you've been hearing is called Blessed Are the Spiritually Submissive. If you'd like to get a copy of the full-length version, including plenty of material we didn't have time to present on the air, you can do so when you visit our website at tonyevans.org. Again, the message title is Blessed Are the Spiritually Submissive. And while you're there, be sure to take advantage of that special offer I mentioned earlier, Tony's latest book, Kingdom Values, where he explores in depth the Beatitudes and other important virtues and values Christ wants us to take hold of, and Dr. Evans' powerful 8-message audio series, Returning to the Truth. These resources are yours as our way of saying thanks when you make a donation to help continue the important work of The Alternative here on this station and others like it around the world. Get the details and make your contribution today at tonyevans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222, where a helpful team member is standing by ready to assist with your resource request any time of the day or night. Once again, the number, 1-800-800-3222. Spiritually speaking, if your life isn't full, it may be because your stomach isn't empty. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about the benefits of being spiritually famished. Right now, though, he's back with his final thought for today.
I remember one time I'm going to the airport. I'm carrying the luggage. I'm walking around with this heavy luggage. I've got sweat coming off my head because I'm walking around with this heavy luggage. I'm walking around and I'm trying to do my best. It's heavy though. It's heavy. And I got to wait in line and I got to walk around with all this heavy luggage. And then somebody gave me a brilliant idea. They said, those suitcases have wheels. That was deep. I'm walking around carrying what I could roll around. Now let me say something. It's still the same weight. If you put it on the scale, it's still the same weight. If you put it on the scale, it's still just as heavy. But because inside of it, wheels have been put, I could carry the weight differently and bring it alongside and be at rest and at ease. Jesus says, I am your wheels. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and let's roll this baby. If you're willing to submit, God's got an inheritance for you. He's got an allotted portion only if you come under his legitimate authority.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.